Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. I have much more to say to you, Jesus said, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Verse 12, Jesus is speaking. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, who is Emmanuel, who was God, very God, who emptied himself and became one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who is the Savior of the whole world. Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King, the lover of our souls. This is Jesus speaking, and I'm telling you, there is nobody more powerful, more awesome, more loving, wiser than Jesus. So when Jesus opens his mouth to speak, we all go, we should listen to what he has to say. It is not idle talk, never has been. And the first thing, Jesus tells them that he has more to tell them. He's already told them a lot that has changed their lives. But he says, now I have more to tell you, more than you can bear. I've got so much to tell you, but there's no way you can grasp it with your carnal minds. See, all your life you've been raised to believe in the world around you. You've been raised to believe in the laws of nature. You've been raised to believe in what society tells you is right and wrong, what you should wear and shouldn't wear, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You believe more in the world than you do in me, and you can't bear to hear what I've got to say to you. It's that way today even. We have more of a glimpse, more of a glimmer of things to come. You and I have connected more with the mind of God, the hope, the glory of God, than what the rest of the world has, because we spend our time here searching for God, searching the Scriptures. But you and I have been indoctrinated from the time we were born. We were told to do this, not to do that. In school, the doctor's office, at home, our friends, on the media, in music, you name it, we've been indoctrinated to believe in a certain pattern in this world of how we should live our lives, what our goals in life should be, what we should treasure, what's important. And yet the Bible says, no longer conform to the pattern of this world. Jesus is trying to break us of that. Jesus said, if you want to be my followers, you have to pick up your cross daily. Daily you have to turn your back on the values of the world. Jesus said in John 17, he says, you're in the world, but you are not of the world. He said, just as I am not of the world, you are not of the world either. We're in it. We are in it. But our values are different than the rest of the world. Jesus said, once you know the truth, the truth will set you free. Free from what? I believe it's free from the pattern of this world. Once you know the truth, it will set you free from the pattern of this world. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It begins with, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord more than you trust in the things that you see going on around you. We look in the cupboard and we see a can of soup. We've got a couple slices of bread, and we've got four children, two adults to feed. Not to mention the dog and the cat. And we think that there is just no way this is going to happen. And Jesus says, oh, it's enough. It's enough. Because the scriptures tell us that you, my God, will supply all our need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, there's hardly any gas left in the tank. There's no way we can drive another 25, 30 miles on what's left in the tank. Right, Bonnie? She did it. I'll tell you, I was driving, but it was in my pickup truck, and I said, we're coming home from Bedford. I said, there's no way we're going to make it. She says, oh, ye of little faith. We went way beyond what that's, I mean, I believe that the things that we call miracles now are just when we begin to get a glimmer of what God is able to do in our lives. When we start to experience the presence of Almighty God and we see a little bit of the law of nature broken, we call it a miracle. But I believe that that can become so commonplace in our lives that we can walk so closely with God that we don't even recognize it as miracles anymore, because it's just the way of the Lord. But we've been indoctrinated. But that's why Jesus said verse 13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and the truth will set us free. Now, we have a choice whether or not to pay attention. We have a choice whether or not to obey. We have a choice whether to live by the rules of this world, follow the pattern of this world, which has worked pretty well for a lot of us, you know. We've been able to get ahead and gather some possessions and enjoy life to some degree. Listen to the doctors and nurses and all that stuff. You know, we've done all right conforming to the pattern of this world. But God's got something so much better. Jesus says, I have so much more to tell you, more than you can bear right now, because you can't bear it right now because you believe in the world. You need to get away from that so that you can receive what I have for you. Here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to woo you and tell you the truth. The truth about this world, the truth about the world to come. Are you ready to receive it? Old illustration. They say you shouldn't use, if it's a good illustration especially, you shouldn't use it more than once a year, and sometimes you need to wait a couple years because people remember illustrations. You may remember this, but I'm telling it anyways. And don't you just love when somebody says that too? I used to want to shake my teachers. Arr. There was a small community out in the countryside, a nice little town, great town council. They took real good care of the people all around in that community. They took care of the elders. They took care of the children, the orphans, the widows. I mean, they just provided for everybody. There was nobody that was homeless, nobody who was hurting. They had great medical care. They had great work programs, great law enforcement, library, swimming pool, tennis courts, baseball fields, soccer fields. I mean, this was a wonderful place. This community prided itself on how well they took care of its citizens. And the people just loved it there. Well, one day the town council heard about somebody known as the Great Teacher. And this great teacher was traveling from community to community and sharing with them words of wisdom, words that made their places even better. And so they told themselves, they said, you know, we really need to have this great teacher come to our community. And so they sent an emissary to the great teacher to invite the great teacher to come to their town. So the emissary went to the great teacher and invited her to come to the town. And they set a date and a time. And sure enough, on that day, the whole town, they all gathered together in the town hall, standing room only, men, women, and children. And there was a buzz and an excitement, everybody chatting away. And the great teacher came in the back doors, walked down the middle of the aisle, smiling at everybody, carrying a great big book. And she walked up on the stage, went over to the podium, put her book down, opened it up, and she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" And everybody said, "Well, no." And she said, "Well, you're just a bunch of ignorant people then." And she closed her book, took it and walked off the stage and left. Well, everybody was stunned. And so they sent their emissary back to the great teacher and asked her to come back at a later date. "Could you please come back?" And they begged and they begged, and finally she said, "Okay, we'll try it again." So they set another date. And on that date, the town hall was full of the same people, and they were standing room only, and the great teacher at the appointed time, she walked in the doors, came down the middle of the aisle, smiling and nodding at everybody. She walked up on the stage, put her book down, opened it up, and she says, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" Well, everybody remembered when they said no, she left, so they said yes. She said, "Well, then you don't need me." She shut the book, put it under her arm, and she walked off. Well, the town council was really perplexed. They were beside themselves. They said, "Oh, what? She must have some wonderful words of wisdom. I mean, she's done so much good everywhere she went. We need to get her back." And so they sent a couple emissaries after her, representatives from the town council. And they begged and they begged and they cried and they pled with her and please, please. So finally she gave in. She said, "Okay." And so they set a date. And the great teacher went back to the town hall. And again, it was loaded with everybody from the community. She walked in, and she nodded and smiled. And she walked up on the stage. She put her big book down, and she opened it up. And she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" Well, they were ready. One half of them said no. One half of them said yes. And she said, "Well, then the half of you that know can tell the half of them that don't know." She shut her book, and she walked off the stage. Oh, they cried, they moaned, and they groaned. "What are we going to do? We don't know what to do here." And so they sent letters to her, and they sent the representatives from the council to talk to her. And it took a while, but finally she consented. She would come back. And so she came back on the day that was appointed, at the hour that was set. She walked in the doors. The place was packed. And she walked down the middle of the aisle, smiling and nodding at everybody. She walked up on stage, went up to the podium, set her big book down, opened it up. She said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" And nobody said a word. You could hear a pin drop. And she said, "Good, for now you are ready to listen." The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. And sometimes we are so busy following the pattern of this world that we just don't get it. We can't hear what God is trying to tell us. We don't practice enough being still and knowing that He is Lord. That's written. Be still and know that I am Lord. We need to do that more often. And we have to listen to God, because God doesn't always want us to do things the way the world does them. You see, and that gets scary, and right away we say, "Well, that mustn't be God, because we've been indoctrinated." Be still and know that He is Lord. Joshua 24 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." So the Holy Spirit wants to hear you. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. The Holy Spirit wants to abide within you. Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. God loves you, and so do I.